This message comes from Capital One. Your business faces unique challenges and opportunities. That's why Capital One offers a comprehensive suite of financial services backed by the strength of a top 10 commercial bank. Visit CapitalOne.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Madam Web is the latest Spider-Man adjacent film that stakes out its own corner of the multiverse. It has gotten pilloried by critics and has been ruthlessly mocked by a series of memes. But is it as bad as all that? I'm Glenn Weldon, and today we're talking about Madam Web on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu. This message comes from NPR sponsor, BetterHelp. It's easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself too thin. Therapy can provide the tools and self-awareness to help you learn how to recharge, define your boundaries, and build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp Online Therapy. Fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Visit BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month. This message comes from NPR sponsor Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Squarespace. Kickstart or update written content on any website, product description, or email with Squarespace AI, generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Explain what your site is about, choose your tone, and enter what you need to get short or long-form text. No matter the placement, Squarespace AI makes it easier to go live, stand out, and succeed online. Use code HAPPYHOUR to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Joining me today is Jordan Cruciola. She is a writer and producer and the host of the podcast Feeling Seen on Maximum Fun. Hey, Jordan.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Hello. Welcome. Also with us is Jordan Morris. He's a podcaster and his upcoming graphic novel Youth Group is available for pre-order now. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, Glenn. It's great to talk to you. You know, the last time I saw you, you were in the Amazon with my mom researching spiders right before she died.
We're getting there. We're getting there. It has already begun. It's great to have you both. This is Attack of the Max Fun Jordans and I'm here for it. Okay. Madam Web stars Dakota Johnson as Cassie, a cool, tough New York City paramedic who develops the ability to glimpse flashes of the future after a near-death experience. In those flashes, she sees three young women in danger: nerdy Julia, played by Sydney Sweeney, smart Anya, played by Isabella Merced, and Maddie, played by Celeste O'Connor, whose personality is skateboard. She has a skateboard. They are being hunted down by Ezekiel Sims, played by Tahar Rahim. Who is Ezekiel Sims, you may ask? Well, let's have Cassie explain it.
He was in the Amazon with my mom when she was researching spiders right before she died.
We're giving that line to you here because you're not going to get it in the movie. It's in the trailer. They took it out of the movie because they are cowards. Also, Ezekiel Sims, we should note, has spider powers. Madam Web is in theaters now. It's gotten a critical drubbing. Jordan C., let me start with you. The body's on the table. His corpse is on the table. I'll let you do the Y incision. Get us started here.
I mean, I think as is per custom in my appearances on NPR, if I am first to talk about a bad movie, it means it's because I liked that bad movie.
Yes. Okay. Yes. All right. Hot take.
This might be the worst thing to say. Watching this was like, this is what I want superhero movies to be now.
Wow.
You know, okay. We've done the whole Infinity Saga, And now it's like we've hit peak superhero, and people are like, I'm a little bored, I'm a little over it. The movies don't quite perform financially like they used to, even when they are like unqualified like successes to the lay people out there. Mm-hmm. I watched this and I was like, this feels like a superhero movie in 1998.
Yeah. That's a great point.
Big Blade energy coming off this movie.
Elektra, Ghost Rider.
No way, man. This is the Shadow. This is the Phantom. This is Billy Zane superhero material. That is where I'm like, give these movies, let's pare them down to mid-budget status.
Sure.
And let's just make them local, see where it goes. Hey, guys, fun thing for you. It's a period piece. It's set in 2003, which means they're not going to be talking about all the other superheroes you're supposed to know and have met over the past two decades. Mm-hmm. It's just this contained thing with Discount Spider-Man, who's in a suit you recognize with like a fraction of the powers. And Dakota Johnson, to me, it rises and falls on her aloof, detached shoulders. And I think she is an actual perfect insert into the origin story, like miraculous circumstances befall common person kind of trope. Say it's 3.5-star, 3-star movie for me. She's given a 4.5-star performance.
Okay. Jordan, that take is the molten core of the earth. How about you? Where do you come in?
Yeah, I'll go a step down. I think there's a lot of places on the internet to hear what is wrong with Madam Web. That's an easy list of things to find. Uh-huh. I think there's a lot of cool things about this movie that maybe people aren't saying because they're dogpiling on it. Uh-huh. I think some of the action and suspense is really well done. It's cool to have a superhero movie that's a little more like suspense-based and a little more of a thriller. The killer, as we mentioned, is kind of an evil Spider-Man. That's a cool flavor. Within this movie, there are two great premises for network TV shows. Psychic Ambulance Driver. That is a show your mom watches on CBS.
It's part of the Chicago orbit,
exactly.
Really.
Tuesday nights at 9.
Don't tempt me with happiness.
And teens who are going to get superpowers but don't have them yet, that runs for 7 seasons on the CW. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. They love superhero before the superhero, like Batman, but it's not Batman. They love that stuff. That's TV right there.
So, yeah. And I think Dakota Johnson, as we mentioned, is kind of ambienting her way through this.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
But I do think there are some intentional comic moments in this that work pretty well.
Yes.
She's got the rom-com chops, and you can tell. There's a scene where her psychic abilities are kicking in during a baby shower. The baby maybe being a famous superhero that we'll all grow to love.
Mm-hmm.
And so her psychic powers are kicking in and kind of ruining this baby shower. And it's pretty good. It's legitimately funny, and the kind of Dakota Johnson charm shines through. So this ain't a great movie. It doesn't work super well, but there are some moments of greatness within its tangled web.
Okay. Not Molten Core of the Earth, Jordan, but Death Valley in August, I think, is what where you come down. I'm going to be a little bit cooler.
That's fair.
Let's agree. Two things can be true. This can be not a good movie, not remotely a good movie, a mess, C-minus effort at best with a bad script, and I would push back on you, Jordan, see woefully miscast actors. But it can also be true that the critical grilling this film is coming in for may be fueled by a snooty film critic community, to which I belong, that desperately wants the era of superhero cinema to be over, and they are seizing on this trifle, this misbegotten little film, as some kind of validation. Other movies get bad reviews. This movie gets gloated over in a way that's kind of ugly.
Yeah.
Also in the mix, by the way, good old-fashioned basic garden variety knee-jerk misogyny. It's always there. It's universal background radiation. It's like herpes. It always comes back. There are fans who are going to hate any superhero film that's led by a woman. Mm-hmm. Does any of that make this a better movie? No. This is not a good movie. But what I notice about this, the thing that stands out for me, is the script. Every time there would be a cool moment, like the ones you both mentioned, the dialogue would botch it. There is a scene where she discovers how her powers work that involves a pigeon and a window. It does not need a button, but it gets one anyway. She says, well, I guess he's not dead, out loud to no one. Why?
Yeah.
Now, if you haven't seen the movie, that's not going to make any sense to you. I guarantee you, if you've seen the movie, it does not make any sense to you. This script was written by Matt Sazema, Burke Sharpless, Claire Parker, and the director, S.J. Clarkson. Sazema and Sharpless wrote Morbius. Suddenly everything makes sense.
They have quite the filmography behind them, that duo.
Yeah, Glenn, I'm realizing as you were describing kind of everything this movie has piled on it, this movie has Charlie Brown's Christmas Tree energy.
Okay.
you kind of want to fluff it up and make people realize maybe it's not as bad as it seems. And I think it's pretty obvious that this movie was cut up and reshot and had ADR added to it and all those kind of things a troubled movie has.
Guys, the amount of ADR in this movie is I was like, did they accidentally merge two audios that they were cutting from different movies into that? There's so much of it. It's like we watched Madam Web the remix.
Right.
There's just air horn sound effects that happen for no reason.
Right. They had to surgically remove the line about researching Spider in the Amazon. So yes, so that was kind of covered by ADR. But anyway, go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah. So Dakota Johnson's character, Madam Web, she's grumpy. She doesn't like family. She doesn't like connection. She doesn't like kids. And then that's kind of how we're introduced to her. And there's this little moment kind of in the first act where a cat comes through her apartment and she feeds it. There's the old screenwriting trick, the cat.
Save the cat.
It's a book they give you in film school. And the idea is that, like, if you show a character being nice to a cat, people will like that character no matter how crummy they act. And it's just like they did the laziest possible version of we need to make this unlikable character a little bit more likable. The fact that the cat never comes back, I think, is such a
She has a full conversation with him when she's reading her mom's journal and trying to figure out if she can climb up walls.
Yep.
I missed that. I missed it.
I remember that because that scene to me justifies the Dakota Johnson of it all. Her dryly talking to a cat in a room as an excuse for, like Glenn said before, like, he's not dead. Like, talking to only herself. This time, we give a cat in a room. And kind of like the ambienting her way through it is kind of like, that's not even a knock on Dakota Johnson. That's like her vibe.
That's
like,
true.
That's her deal. Yep. Like, that's what she brings to the table. And there's an odd amount of something compelling. And you know what? People being so mad about this movie actually makes me even more happy about the Dakota Johnson of it, because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit, really. I'm glad that she's somebody in how she's presenting herself in this movie that I would imagine can make them the biggest mad of all.
Okay, I have to push back, Jordan, because, I mean, you're right, it doesn't fit. It's not that she's bad. It's just that she doesn't fit this particular assignment. I mean, I like her work.
She's doing exactly what you hired Dakota to do.
Well, see, but she's doing it throughout, even in scenes when more is required. So I like her work. I like her celebrity maybe a bit more. I think she's a terrific celebrity interview because her factory settings, as we've all talked about, are set at Checked Out. And let's not forget, she gifted the world with that's not the truth, Ellen. You know?
That's not the truth. She ended Ellen's daytime
She
run.
Was warning us all, and we didn't pay attention.
She has that I'm from a famous family, like, I can never fail. Yeah. Nothing. I'll always be fine.
I will always be fine.
Okay. So all the scenes where she just has to be present in a human sense, the stuff that not a lot of superhero films bother with, because you get when they don't have superpowers, it's the setup, right? It just feels like the movie's trying to get past all that stuff. Any scene where she's just, you know, shooting the poop with her paramedic partner played by Adam Scott, those seem real. She's listening. It's when the movie tries to introduce stakes, urgency, danger, that her affect doesn't match the challenge. Lines that require someone to get their whole foot in it, right? Like, look out, run. I won't let him hurt you, I promise. The superhero stuff. She delivers, look out, run. I won't let him hurt you, I promise. She delivers it as if she is informing you that you've got something on your face. When a 10 is required, she gives a 2. And that could be the director, right? I mean, like, in the editing bay, either in the moment or in the editing bay, choosing a take where she sounds disaffected. And plenty of scenes in this film happen because the girls are asking her what's going on and she says, I don't know. Now, why are all those scenes in there if not to give her something to reveal about Cassie? Oh, she's frustrated. Sure. She's curious. She's angry. They could also – there's so many of them that could be played for humor. Like, she could escalate. I don't know. She just plays them straight.
I think, too, there's playing it straight, and then if you speak to Dakota Johnson, like the fans do, we see those modulations, and we understand that she's true. But, like, I'm not saying that breaks through to a wider level. Mm-hmm. And so, for me, when somebody – you're hopelessly in the bag for her like me, which is a small percentage of us. There are dozens of us. Mm-hmm. Dozens of us. That works. It heightens the absurdity of something that is, in often points, so bland. Yeah. That, like, the cacophony of putting her and, like, the trio of young actors and what they're serving in these roles. Mm-hmm. To me, at a certain point, I was riding on the ridiculousness of what was clashing on screen.
Right. Okay. Speaking of clashing on screen, I want to get to the villain here. The superhero films are only as good as their villains' motivations. You kind of have to see where they're coming from, right? Mm-hmm. They can be evil murderers, but it helps if you can say, well, they're not wrong, sure. Right?
Ocean Master was right. Killmonger was right.
Exactly. This is a really boring motivation this guy has, saving himself. And Tahar Rahim is a terrific actor. If you've never checked out the French gangster film, A Prophet from, I think, back in the day, like 2009, he is so terrific in that. And every time he showed up on the screen here, I got a stomach ache. I was making that kind of sound like, oh, what are you doing? This villain keeps saying to everyone why he's doing what he's doing, which is a fault of the script. He keeps saying the same thing over and over again. But again, if it's in the script and it keeps coming back, you could find a reason for that, right? Like if this guy felt guilty and had to rationalize his actions to himself, had to keep telling himself and literally everyone else in the movie why he's doing what he's doing. But he's just playing this kind of boring, implacable, unlayered evil. Mm-hmm. And I thought it just laid there.
Yeah, it's tough. I know that this fella, people love him. He's been good in other things. He's not great here. There's a lot of ADR. There's a lot of like him speaking without you seeing his mouth moving. Yep. So it seems like his performance was really cut up. He has this, I'm trying to prevent my own death motivation, but you don't really know anything else about the character.
No.
They don't really show why he killed Dakota Johnson's mom. And I don't think it's a less is more the strangers kind of thing, right?
Right.
I think some villains are scarier when they don't have a ton of motivation. Mm-hmm. Why are they doing this? They're just kind of chaos. This really smacks of they cut it out. Like there was some sort of backstory here and it got cut out because this movie is just a Frankenstein of scenes. Why is he barefoot? Do we know that?
What's
he
that
walks around
about?
And looks great in a suit, by the way. He's walking around in some very nice suits, but barefoot?
Shocking.
What is
he has
that?
To climb walls, right? Yeah. And you can't do that through sneakers. You need to get in touch with the land.
You're right.
My favorite part about the villain situation in this movie is Zosia Mamet as a extraordinary hacker who doesn't seem to know at all what she's working for and doesn't seem to be a big enough jerk to just be doing it for the money. Mm-hmm. At first I was like, casting? And then I was like, why wouldn't Shosh be a hacker supreme in this movie?
Yeah. I mean, seeing Zosia Mamet just told me one thing. Oh, they filmed some of this in New York City. I mean, that's why. So she just had to get in a cab.
I have to say one, like, the one sincerely nice thing I have to say about this movie. I've been sincere the whole time, but, like, the part that I did actually find really moving. Our heroes find each other. They realize they're all connected in some way. The trailer teases that. And, like, by the time they become coalesced into a group, like, Cassie is the adult in the room. And what we've learned about these girls is they all really don't have homes to go to. And there's a scene where she gets asked, like, how these girls all connect to her. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, are they, like, is this your family? And she says, yeah, they're all mine. That worked for me 1,000%.
And I think worth saying that I think this movie might teach a lot of teens CPR. There's a long CPR scene where Dakota Johnson teaches all the spider teens CPR, and this might save some lives.
It's a very special episode at a certain point.
Exactly.
I don't know about you guys. I've drank 5 cases of Pepsi since I watched this movie.
I have listened to Toxic 87,000 times.
Yeah. There are a lot of labels out Pepsis in this movie. A Pepsi sign is instrumental in the villain's death.
Yep.
A lot of Pepsi.
Pepsi saves the day.
Pepsi saves the day. A cool, refreshing beverage. Okay. Well, we want to know what you think about Madam Web. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Jordan Cruciola, Jordan Morris, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for having me.
This episode was produced by Liz Metzger and Hafsa Fathima and edited by Jessica Reedy and Mike Katziff, and Alokamin provides our theme music. Thanks for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. I'm Glenn Weldon, and we'll see you all later this week.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch. This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch.
On It's Been a Minute, we're keeping you in the know when it comes to culture. I break down the latest trends and the forces behind them and introduce you to the creatives who think deeply about how we live today. Come for some good old cultural analysis and have a few laughs with me. Listen to the It's Been a Minute podcast from NPR.